Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. On the show today, we have CFCU's present CEO, Tansley Stern's back on the program. She's here talking to us about a very cool article that she wrote in CU Insight, and it's entitled Five Steps to Find What's Missing from Your Strategy. And we'll take a deep dive on these five steps and much, much more. So check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our show. And on today's program, we have a fine friend of the show, Tansley Stearns from CFCU in the fine state of Michigan, where they're kind of celebrating because of the Wolverines are on a roll this year. Well done. Congratulations on that, Tansley. Your alma mater doing well. Yeah.
Thank you for having me, and go Blue.
right on.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll be anxiously watching this holiday season as well. So, hey, all right. Hey, you also wrote a pretty cool story, blog post, whatever you want to call article in CU Insight that I enjoyed really well, because if you're running, we kind of go hand in hand here, because I like, you know, being healthy and all that type of stuff, and you are obviously well on that road as well, and you've had quite the running career, if you will, in more ways than one, and you kind of wove wove kind of your running career throughout your professional career, and how they can and how they've kind of interacted, and then how it attributes to leadership as well. So give us a quick overview, because I really enjoyed this one, and along with the your successes and failures, especially running as well, because we've all been through those types of highs and lows and trying to stay healthy and that type of stuff. So give us a quick overview, and then we'll dive into a couple of details, because I really enjoyed this piece. I thought it was a lot of fun to read.
Thank you. Well, I actually learned about this race that I had never heard of, which the intention is that you do it in your backyard and a race. And the thing is, you keep going and you don't know who's going to win, because the only way that you win is that you're the last person running.
Okay.
And so it's really bananas, because in my running career, I started running. I remember vividly when it was really hard to run 10 minutes at a time. And then I remember vividly running a 10 mile, and I thought, okay, well, if I run 10 miles, maybe I can do a half. And I did a half, and I thought, I'll do a full, and I did a full. And then I thought, okay, maybe run Boston. And I did that. And after that, I stopped. And ultramarathoners do not stop. There is this ongoing drive, which I find to be so inspiring. And the intersection for me is really around, I talk about impossible dreams and dreaming really boldly. I think sometimes people think that's hyperbole, it might be silly. And I think particularly in these really unique economic times, and for credit unions at what I think is a very important intersection, it is a time to not be safe, but to be bold.
Mm-hmm. I agree that fully, but at the same time, I liked your iterative thinking, because, okay, I ran 10 minutes, I ran 20 minutes, I ran a 5K, then I ran a half marathon. Then it's like, hey, maybe I can do this. So I think you can apply the same thing to a leadership position, right? And keeping your credit and moving iteratively. I mean, you think about like the first iPhone, that little blocky thing, and to what it is now. But each year it's been this iterative thing to, like, it's completely different now. So the same thing with the leadership, right? Is that kind of what you've applied to your leadership at CFCU as well?
Yeah, and I think it's really twofold. I love what you're talking about in terms of iteration, because I think particularly when we think about innovation, making that progress and being focused on perfection really matters. Right. And that was certainly true in my running career. When I dreamed about running Boston, I did not qualify the first time or the second time or the third time. And you got to go all 26.2 even if you don't make it. And that's real. And I think there's also this notion of, and that bold vision combined with iteration, I think, is a real recipe for moving the organization forward and keeping everyone really, I think, more focused on what's possible. Because I think sometimes when we get too focused on the small pieces, we miss what we could be doing. And I think the promise of credit unions is so great. We are responsible for challenging ourselves to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, especially in a leadership position as well. So, and talk to me, I want to go back to a little bit some of the challenges, because you said it took you, what, 3 or 4 times to qualify for the Boston Marathon. I mean, and that's running 26.2 miles 3 or 4 or 5 times, you know? And you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't make it. Yeah. Tell me about that thought process and then how you relate that to being a leader. Because obviously we kind of get knocked down a few times as leaders, and especially in the credit union industry when there's so much going on. Tell me about, and then overcoming those hurdles as well, because you eventually made it. So tell me about that process.
Yes. You know, I think so much of it is about what I describe as curiosity and learning. And, you know, as it related to running, you know, there were just things I didn't even know. My first marathon was in Chicago. I had no idea that you had to get nutrition. Now I know that sounds really silly, but I didn't know. So, you know, at 20 miles, I did the typical bonk and I had no idea what to do. And I found my way across the finish line, but it was really, really rough. And then when you, okay, you've got to take nutrition. There's a journey on that of there's this stuff called goo, or am I going to try to carry a power bar? And how do you do that? How do you run and eat? Because that seems counterintuitive. And, you know, that sounds like a really small thing. But if you don't get the right nutrition at 26.2 miles, you're not going to do particularly well. You're certainly not going to qualify for Boston. And so that learning and curiosity, and I think willingness to collaborate with others and learn from others, all of those things helped me. You know, I was able to ask other runners, okay, well, how do you like goo and how do you do that? And, you know, ask those questions. And that's one of the things that credit unions are really great at. I do think that our challenge is how we remain curious, because sometimes when you've been doing something for a very long time, you can feel as though there might not be more to be curious about. And I think in a world that's changing as quickly as ours, we've got to remind ourselves that every single day is an opportunity to get better.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. And I think today, oh my gosh, there are so many things to be curious. It's almost like, you know, the shiny red ball syndrome, like, oh my gosh, I mean, you can get distracted so easily with all that type of stuff. So yeah, I get it. Yeah, the curiosity is such a huge piece of it for sure. All right, there was a point in the article where you talked about being ambidextrous. So from a leadership perspective, you point out that it may be, you know, best to chart maybe a conservative course during challenging times. That's kind of like you kind of a go-to kind of a natural type of thought, but in actuality, leaders need to be ambidextrous, you say. So can you expand on this one? Cause I found this one I'm very curious to know what your thought is behind this. Speaking
absolutely
of curiosity.
So not surprisingly, there's some fleeing research behind this idea. And the notion is that when you're ambidextrous as an organization, you do need to protect different parts of the business. You know, as a credit union, there are certain things that we need to do every single day, namely serve our members. And that function is probably not going to, on a daily basis, be particularly innovative. And we've got to protect that because we need to serve our members. They need to feel that consistency. That's got to be marching. And if you want to be innovative, that's got to have the same level of protection, because the organization, simply because we're humans and we don't love change, will always blanket towards that safety, that security, the way we've done things. Yeah. And so being ambidextrous, I think, is about how you cordon off certain parts of the organization. And there's real strong research around how if you've got the innovation function, you can protect it to a certain extent and keep it a bit away from the day-to-day functionality, then use it once they've got those ideas formed and coming to life. And the part where you can have a really nice bridge is around that competency of innovation, because you do want everybody in the organization being able to identify problems and solve them in new and creative ways.
And keep more moving forward at the same time, because especially in today's when things are moving so fast, you can't afford to be like sitting on the sidelines and watching other people do stuff, because that's a recipe for disaster in my book. So, and I think a lot of other, and we'll talk, we'll get a little bit about that and later in our talk here. So let's see here, where else, speaking of challenges. Okay. So earlier this year, we talked about this year being the year of the test for CFCU, because there have been so many changes at your credit union this year alone. So what did you mean by this for your credit union, and how did some of the tests go? I mean, I don't have to cover everything, but I just like, how did it go as far as the year of the test go? Because I really like this mindset where you're kind of testing and again, it's kind of this iterative thinking that you guys are doing there. So how did that go, and what was the philosophy behind it all?
It's going really well. And what I think is the most successful piece is that is becoming a mindset. And we actually set it as one of our corporate goals, the number of tests that we were going to do and the number of people that were going to test with us. And It truly is about listening. We've created a whole lot more listening posts and been able to identify some challenges. And what I'm most proud of is that a couple of our tests are really around some of the darker moments in people's lives. So we were able to partner with Andy Janning around a cancer opportunity for us, people that have been impacted by cancer and how it might serve them, because the financial implications of that are real. The other test that we did this year was around those impacted by domestic violence with an organization called First Step. In both cases, these are moments in time where life is really dark. And the possibility is that everybody in your life, including those that you love, might be uncomfortable, might not know what to say. And I think as a financial institution, we typically shine in those very bright moments. And if you think of our advertising, it's usually like the couple running down the beach, very happy together. We want to be there in those moments that aren't so bright. And being able to test in those places has been so powerful for us. I think certainly because it will eventually have really strong outcomes for our members. Also because I think it differentiates us in the marketplace. If we can be that trusted friend that's going nowhere, even in those moments where it's really hard, that's something really special. And so being known for that is something we're excited about. Good. And I think ultimately these tests across both those joyful and bright moments and the darker ones are going to allow us to have that competency be something that is who we are, not an activity that we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't agree with you more. So, and the stuff that Andy is doing is talk about bold thinking. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to have him on the show soon to cover that type of stuff. Yeah. He's doing some phenomenal work in that area. So yeah, good stuff.
Well, and I listen from our team member perspective, just, you know, cause we've had some focus on what we're calling cancer care agents. And so specific learning opportunities for our care center team members to be able to know how to speak to this issue and to be really good partners for our members when they're going through these things. And you can imagine what a gift that learning is. And I think it's been really impactful in terms of the power of the role that people have in our organization. So, you know, you can see it not only from a member impact standpoint, but also from a team member impact standpoint.
Because you guys are all in on this. So I'm really interested to see how this, I don't want to say how it turns out, because I think it's just going to be a continuous journey forever. So, but I would love to, you know, maybe actually have you and Andy on at some point and talk about that. That would be wonderful. Maybe in 6 months or so to see how it's going. So, yeah. So, and the other thing that I wanted to talk about, because it was getting back to your story that you wrote in CU Insight, I forgot to say the title of it, Tansley. I apologize. I got so carried away with the very beginning, but it's 5 steps to find what's missing from your strategy. So I wanted to go over maybe just a couple of those steps or those suggestions that you stated in there. And then the folks can go to CU Insight to see the other ones. But one of the ones that I really liked was, if I can find my notes, was, feel the fear. Cause I'm all about overcoming fear and how fear can actually fuel your motivation and fuel you into being bold and achieving goals and stuff like that. So tell me about that one, and then you can choose which one that you want to cover.
Yeah, for sure. So I just think it's important that we're honest about the things that scare us. You know, one of my personal fears in life is I'm terrified of bridges. And I spent all this time feeling that fear, and I just talking about it, my palms start sweating. And I didn't say it to anyone other than just a couple people in my life, because it's really embarrassing. Like, why would you be afraid of a bridge? And at a certain point, when I was brave enough to talk about it, all of a sudden there are other people. And in fact, I talked about it during the team meeting once, and I had a team member send me a message to learn all about it. And so I think there's power in naming what we're afraid of and talking about it, because it takes that monster out of the closet, so to speak. And I think it allows us to have others walk with us through that fear. And all of us are scared of things, and change is really hard. And I think this world can feel frightening. And when we are bold enough to name those things, I think it takes some of that power right out of it.
Right, right. And from a crediting perspective, I mean, I think change is, like you said, change is the biggest one right now, because things are happening so fast. But from what are you guys addressing in the fear department at your credit union? Just as an example, I mean, what are you guys taking on, so to speak?
You know, I think for us, it's really about change. You know, as I came in, there's an awful lot that I dreamt about and that heard from our members are opportunities for us to improve. And that change is rapid, because some of those things are really fundamental to our business. For example, we've not necessarily been great at being deposit gatherers, and particularly with the liquidity challenges facing us, we've got to get stronger at that.
Yeah.
And with those changes, people do get scared. They wonder what that means. Am I going to keep up? Do I understand what we're talking about? What's this going to mean for my role? We're investing a lot in technology. I think that oftentimes causes fear with frontline team members. And so we've done a lot of work on that change cycle and really giving language around that. We've done a lot of work on the Big Five so we understand each other. You know, one of the things that we know from the Big Five about me is that I'm a quick recoverer. So I can take things really hard, right? If I'm fearful, I might really feel it. Or if I'm angry, I might really feel it.
Right.
But 2 days from now, I won't even remember that. But some people take a long time. And if you know that about me, now you know I'm not being flippant. It's not that I don't care. It's just that for me, I move through it really quickly. Right. And I need to know for somebody that needs a long time to process that I've got to be patient through that. So I think some of that is language that can really be powerful within the culture of an organization.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that. So, and which one did you want to choose? Was there another one out of the five that you wanted to choose?
Yeah, you know, I would talk about brain food.
Okay,
you know, right? As we think about curiosity and learning, I think it's something we've really got to challenge ourselves on. You know, when I was at Feline, I had an opportunity to do some coaching with leaders, and every single one of those leaders that I did coaching with on the first call, they would say something to me in this vein of, hey, I've been doing this for a lot of years. I've taken every class there is. I've read every book. There's really nothing you can teach me. And I really challenge myself and our team to think about the world from a place of every single day, even if I were reading a book I've got an opportunity to learn something from it and apply it differently. And so, you know, we work really hard at Community Financial to invite in differing perspectives, have different thought leaders sharing with us, sharing that with our board, just so that we are keeping up with that. And I think that mindset of curiosity and always being challenged to see what might be next allows us to be more creative and really respond to the world that we're living in.
Yep. Yep. Hey, and this is a pretty good book too. I don't know if you've read that one yet.
Yes, it is. I've got that one.
Right here on my desk. I'm glad you brought up the book. So I had to
love it.
Throw a little plug in for George Hoffheimer there. Yes. So yeah. All right. To wrap up, because I know you have lots on your plate and I always appreciate your time, Tansley, but to wrap up here. So I really love your always thinking boldly, because I think that really pushes people out of their comfort zones and gets into the fear factor and all that type of stuff. But I don't think we move forward without doing things like that. But historically, credit union as the industry as a whole has been very conservative, and maybe less so today than maybe in past decades. And I have to be fair, maybe that conservative mindset has been a benefit to the industry at times. So I want to be totally fair there. But how do you get a collective group of credit unions to adopt daring approaches to life? Because you mentioned this in the article as well, especially with what's going on around us, because there's PayPal, there's SoFi, there's Chime, Apple, Google, and even Elon Musk recently has talked about how he wants to get X/Twitter into as a banking platform. And that's a little scary, but daring as well. But these organizations and many, many others out there are thinking like this, and they're being very bold and they're being very daring. So how do we get credit unions collectively? Because I know there's a bunch of credit unions out there that are really pushing that envelope, and I'm so happy that there's a lot out there doing that. But collectively, how do we get the industry to move forward and think boldly and do some daring things out there? Seems like this is kind of like a big ask, but I think this is how we move forward as an industry.
Yeah. So there's two things that I would mention. One is, well, I don't love to lead with fear, and it's really not my style. I do think that we need to look in the mirror as an industry and recognize that we've not necessarily lived up to the challenge that Ed Feline and Roy Bergegren had for us. You know, across the country, at best, we've got 10% of the market share, and it's probably not quite that strong. That's not good enough.
Right.
And being honest about that and being frank about what consumers want today, because I hear us talk a lot about that next generation of members. I think we recognize we need them. And when it comes down to it, what are we actually doing about it? And so being able to move the theoretical challenges that we understand to be true into action so that we do live up to the promise of credit unions is one thing that I think we've got to take seriously. And the second is, I believe we've got to break through this cooperation and get to a place of collaboration again.
Okay.
We are not competing against one another. When we've got that little of the market, we know that we're truly competing against big banks and community banks. And we have come up with some of the most unique and creative solutions when we've come together. Yeah. We've got to challenge ourselves to come up with those next big things and do that collaboratively. And that's right. The chance we have to win.
Right. Yeah. That's, yeah, gosh. And we have to do it together, I think, because I think if we do kind of onesie twosie type things, it's, yeah, you're never going to push that number any higher than 7, 8, 9, 10% of market share for, and it's been that way for a long time, Tansley, as you well know. It's been in that number range for a really long time. So it's time we move that needle big time. All right. I think I've taken up enough of your time and we've really put some thought provoking ideas out there, but anything else to add here to wrap up, Tansley, as we move into the holiday season?
Well, I just want to challenge people. I know that this is forecast season and strategy season. And I think making sure that strategy remains iterative, making it really clear across the organization and challenge ourselves to think about what's something 2024 we can do that will be the thing that people talk about over their beverage of choice. That's going to be the thing that gets us to a place where we own a lot more of that market share and create much more impact.
Indeed. Well said. All right. I'm going to let you get back to work. Thank you so much, Tansley. Okay. Always appreciate your time and your thoughts and your insights and all that comes with it. So we appreciate it and look forward to the next chat. Well done. Once again.
Appreciate you, my friend. We'll see you soon.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.